Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. This is our Twitter Musing Tuesday. Still workshopping the title here, but this is our like a month running now of podcasts devoted to basically just stuff we've seen around Twitter or seen sort of in the Dynasty atmosphere, if you will. And this one, I want to talk about some of the Fournette stuff. So this is becoming the time of this season, the time of the calendar, where you get very much a smattering, a bunch of whether it's look at me tweets, whether it's look at me headlines, whether it's out of context statements, whatever it is, right? The Roto World blurbs, whatever they are now, Edge blurbs, they're still Roto World. Roto World never died. But like those types of blurbs or whatever, where it says report, you know, player's in the best shape he's ever been in, or report, player's too fat, or whatever, you know, whatever, right? And some of the fat shaming and stuff around Fournette drives me crazy, but that's a story for another day. But you'll see these things, and right, so you see this story, this, it's tweeted out, it says about Fournette basically being too heavy, right? And it's that, you know, he's out of shape, and there's a couple of them, right? And there's one from Pro Football Talk. It says Leonard Fournette weighs almost 260 pounds. Bucks coach is not happy. It says report. That's the headline. By the way, the headline says weighs. It's worth noting weighs. When you actually look at it, there's another one from Luke Easterling who has a Bucks Wire piece. And when you actually read the Bucks Wire piece, again, I know this is somewhat crazy, but it says, it's basically quoting Rick Stroud from a podcast. That's exactly what he did. And then he paraphrased him in the other parts. It says coaches were not happy, and that's an understatement, when Fournette didn't participate in OTAs, but then he shows up at mandatory minicamp weighing damn near 260 pounds. And that's not good for a guy that just signed a 3-year contract. And then he says, you know, he basically, this entire article was essentially paraphrasing Rick Stroud, who's on the Buccaneers beat down there. And it's, to me, it's an interesting thing, right? And then the same thing is basically echoed by Pro Football Talk, right? And it says, it's the same quotes. It's almost like it was put out by a newswire and they copied and pasted it. Like, that's almost how it reads. I have a lot of, then these things get talked about, right? They get talked about in Twitter and on podcasts. People start making fun of him and it tanks his price or whatever. It hasn't really done that yet, but, it does have influences on players' prices, right? And then you get into the thing where this player, you know, then you'll get in training camp and it's like, this player can't be covered. He can't, you know, all these things, right? You get these sort of narrative things that happen to players based on headlines that really, frankly, like, we've already been through this round of stuff, right? And that's what I would caution you when you're reading some of these headlines, or when you're looking at, when you're looking at tweets, or you're reading stories about training camp, like, look at what they're actually saying, right? Look at what they are actually saying, and look at whether or not that's actionable, right? Because what this is actually saying is that in OTAs he was 260 and the coaches weren't happy. It does not say that he weighs 260 pounds. It says in OTAs that's what he weighed, okay? That's different. Right? If anyone has done a diet, they know that that 6 weeks is a big difference, right? I'm not a professional athlete, but I can speak from personal experience that my weight can fluctuate, right? And I could go up 10, 15 pounds in, you know, a month just on a variety of things, including hydration, eating extra carbs, like, you know, and honestly, those couple of things can jack my weight up really quickly. And it's not really weighing, yeah, I'm heavier, but I don't It's not like I've put on, you know, 20 pounds of body fat. It's stuff that I think is more fixable. Just with better nutrition and kind of getting back into, you know, working out, shape and stuff. So, again, when you think about these things, like just keep it in mind of what they're actually saying and use a little bit of common sense. I mean, we are, I think, capable of that, where I don't think some aspects of the internet and dynasty leagues in particular are capable of that. But, be careful at this time of year. I'll give you another example. And I use this one frequently. A couple of years ago, Dante Pettis was like the rage in fantasy. Dante Pettis. And I've learned most of these lessons, right? I've actually learned these lessons from covering teams during training camp for football guys, right? So what you do is each day we're supposed to do it is each week you submit a report. It gets published. It's between like 600 and 1,000 words. Like it can be kind of repetitive at times, but so you just read through all the reports. So I go through The Athletic each day. I go through like the local papers or whatever, wherever my teams are. I had four of them last year, I think. And then you write up like a 600 to 1,000 word piece basically at the end of the week, and it gets published, and you do that for 4 weeks of training camp. And so I got pretty good at like understanding and listening to whether it was a podcast. I occasionally do. I couldn't really do podcasts because they were tough to quote, but you could do you could really do articles, and you watch stuff on Twitter, and you're kind of picking up the daily. You're basically aggregating kind of the daily training camp reports, right? If I was really to dumb it down, that's what I'd be doing. And so you'd see stuff where it would be great stats. Like the San Francisco beat writers were terrific. And it would say like, all right, on routes that Dante Pettis is actually running in 7-on-7s, like live drills, like he's, 7 for 19, I think. It was like that type of performance in terms of actually catching them. And it was like, oh, wait, like he's actually not doing that well. And it was this very, very conflicting reports of like, he's phenomenal for fantasy. Like fantasy Twitter was like, I'm all in on Pettis. Like, it was just Pettis. And about how great he was. And it might have been like some clips and stuff. But you read anything and you're like, there's never been a bigger disconnect that I've seen between someone's fantasy prospects and what is actual reality. And of course he ends up throwing in a dud of a season. Like that's of course what happens. Whereas I don't think any of the people ever pumping him up actually even read anything. And it was a very big waking moment for me. The other thing I would say too, along this lines, like really think critically, the stuff that really makes me think critically about some of the reports and some of the analysis that we see is the Zeke Elliott suspension. And when Zeke Elliott like was being suspended, at that time of my fantasy sports experience, right, my writing experience and the like, I was super interested in trying to break in to do fantasy sports. So one of the things that was really interesting was I was particularly well suited for it because I could go through and analyze, all the CBA stuff and look at the rules and, see if he violated them or whatever, right? It was very similar to what I did for a living, and I thought I could be pretty useful. So I went through and I analyzed it, and I said there's only two outcomes, based on the facts that if we know them, they of course could change, but there's only two outcomes. And this was at a point where the Cowboys were really, really fighting. Zeke wasn't taking any responsibility. The Cowboys were really fighting it. And, it goes up to Goodell to make a decision. And I said, there's only really one, there's two outcomes that he can do. He's either going to suspend him for 6 games or he's going to suspend him for 0. And it was like crystal clear based on the policy. Schefter and Rappaport and some others come out and they're like, oh, it's a couple games. You know, it's going to be something in the couple of games range. And I was like, no, it's not. It's either zero or it's six, right? It's not a couple of games, because the way that he violated the policy, it has to be six games. And the only way that you can be less than six games is if you accept responsibility and you have some mitigating circumstances. And that just wasn't the case in this case. There's just no... it wasn't true. And so it was just a simple reading of the rules and understanding what they actually meant created a lot of value, in the sense of, like, we knew it was either six or it was zero. And of course it was six games. And so that was really a eye-opening thing for me, is you have to be really careful on what's being reported and how it's being reported and what people are saying and who they are that are saying it, why they're saying it as well. But that was just totally conjecture. I was just totally talking out of their backsides. And I think a lot of this stuff, like when you actually dive in and read it, you have to be careful, especially in the context of this article about Fournette. These articles are written in the context of aggregating quotes from a podcast. An hour-long podcast is an hour and 14 minutes. I actually went and listened to it. And it's talking about, you know, a whole bunch of things. And this is his musing at the end of a five-minute answer. So just be careful is the overall takeaway from this. Just be really careful. Just remember some of the bias stuff that we have as well. Things that will happen at the beginning of training camp are going to have an outsized import in our minds, right? Because we're going to anchor them. Primacy and recency, right? The first thing that happens and the last thing that happens are the things that we're most likely to remember the best, right? And so that's true for everything, right? That's true for, I used to use it all the time in cases, right? Where it would be like, all right, well, tell me the first time you got in a fight with your spouse, tell me the last time. And then tell me the time that it was different, right? Those sorts of things, right? That's how we remember these things. So be careful with your mind and what it might do when it starts reading beginning of camp reports. Rookies are going to be really important. The reason rookies become really important is because they're there first. And this is the first exposure of beat writers to them. Okay, that's a big reason why a lot of the hype happens. It's because, oh, look, these beat reporters are in there. They mean well, right? They're trying to put money on, put food on the table for their families as well. I'm not disparaging them, but they haven't probably done the amount of study that we've done from from an analytics perspective or from a college research perspective, right? There's some of them may have, but generally speaking, like, there's not a huge analytics bend to local beat reports. Like, we have a pretty good understanding of where a lot of these guys come from. They might not. You know, I remember one of the great ones was, oh yeah, Christian McCaffrey, like, he's a fantastic receiver. Like, we knew that. Like, you were double counting now because we're getting reports confirming what we already knew. Right. So I would just be sort of careful on those things, and just be careful. There's a lot that their primacy aspect, right? Their primacy bias is going to come out in a lot of the reports and a lot of the early narratives that come out of training camp. Just be really careful with those and be open to it. You know, if you're really thinking about it and concerned about sort of where you're at, right, write down what the initial reports were on somebody and then come back to it a week later and think, okay, has this changed, right? Has this moved, and sort of how has it moved? And that'll sort of keep you honest a little bit about your perception about a player. So one other aspect of it to think about is, like, go through the news clips. You can go through on RotoWire, or Football Guys has it too, or I guess it's NBC Edge, I guess now, but go through it and actually look at the recent articles, the recent stories about them, and just sort of see the arc of them. And you can sort of see, you know, you can guard against some of that bias stuff that we have about our initial reaction to news and early stuff in training camp. So just some tips and thoughts that I've sort of used. It's a little bit of a grab bag type thing in terms of some techniques, but just overall, you know, this is a kind of be careful about how you perceive the news and be critical of what you are reading. So that'll do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and you can talk again very soon.